We are mostly water. On average, adult human bodies are 60% water. It varies depending on our age, depending on our sex. On average, grown-ups, 60% water. Hydration is crucial to our survival. Even mild dehydration can produce noticeable impairment, headache, fuzzy thinking, problems with recall. Given today's readings, water has been on my mind this week. And in that way, when you learn a new word, you seem to hear it more frequently. Water has emerged as a noticeably recurring theme for me, maybe for you, since last Sunday. On your behalf, I attended the Episcopal Parish Network Conference in Jacksonville from Wednesday through yesterday. Upon arrival Tuesday evening, I observed that the hotel was lovely and that Jacksonville tap water doesn't taste nearly as good as Key West tap water. There were other moments of particular water awareness through the week as I thought of Moses and the Hebrew children at Massah and Meribah, and of Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. You know, if you've been to a conference at any time since lockdown was lifted, we've gone back to our old ways. There are nice water coolers all over the place. Every time there's a break, you can go and easily get a cup of delicious water. Or you can fill your own water bottle. Sometimes it's even infused water. So I enjoyed a lot of different kinds of water in Jacksonville. And then yesterday, in the security line at Jacksonville International Airport, TSA agent June Martinez was saying over and over as passengers filed through, "If you have water, drink it. If you have water, drink it." I started laughing, but this is good advice. If you have water, drink it. It shouldn't go through the X-ray scanner, and there was no place to pour it out at Jack's. Therefore, Agent Martinez was saying, "If you have water, drink it. Drink it, and don't take it for granted." When I got home to the rectory last evening, there was plenty of water, and this morning, there was not. I was mentally prepared for the time change, but not for a lack of water from the tap this morning. Does everyone have their water service restored? Yes? Thanks be to God for the hardworking folks of the Florida Keys Aqueduct Authority. My, what a week they have had. God bless them. Last Sunday, we listened in on Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus. They talked about a different kind of birth. Nicodemus could not wrap his head around it. And that was part of the problem. He was taking a metaphor literally, and they usually don't make sense. Today we listen in to the conversation of Jesus and the woman of Samaria. A very long conversation, isn't it? At the well. They talk a lot about water, but neither of them drinks any. Jesus is talking about a different kind of water. Not literal H2O, but something else. The Samaritan woman is intrigued. At first, she doesn't know what to make of him. By the end, she understands he is offering her a new way of engaging life and a new way of being in the world. At the well, at midday, in Samaritan territory, a place generally avoided by Jews, Jesus has a real conversation with a stranger. The woman of Samaria has a conversation with a stranger as well. They are both descendants of Abraham and Sarah, who entertained angels unaware. For all the stereotypes that Jews and Samaritans had of each other that led them to turn away from each other, Jesus and the Samaritan woman, descendants of Abraham and Sarah, with hospitality in their DNA, turn toward each other and risk a conversation with each other. This is a conversation that cuts across lines of race, ethnicity, gender, sexuality, and religion. Jesus discloses that God is spirit and is beyond all our categories. This conversation at the well tells us that questions are welcome. God is interested in what we are interested in, and interested in hearing our concerns and queries. It suggests that real conversation is an important theological practice. We learn in dialogue with one another and with ideas that we haven't encountered before. Following Jesus is an ongoing invitation to engage situations and ideas and people that are unfamiliar and may make us uncomfortable. An invitation to stay attentive to how God is already present in every circumstance. Is there a conversation that you have had recently that has opened your eyes to something new? Is there a conversation that you need to have with someone as we prepare for Easter? Jesus shares with the Samaritan woman a critical piece of his own theology, that the worship of God is not dependent on location, whether the temple in Jerusalem or the temple in Samaria on top of Mount Gerizim, but rather worship is dependent on condition. The concern of worship is the state, the attitude, the condition of the heart and its relationship to God, to others, to self. We are the temple in which God is worshiped. As their conversation begins, Jesus asks the woman for a drink. She is surprised by his request. "Sir, you have no bucket. You have nothing to draw with. And the well is deep." But he did have something to draw with. Relationship with God, access to God, as the reading from the letter to the Romans tells us. God's love poured into our hearts. The well is deep. Do you have something to draw with? The water is there, but it has to be accessed. Do you have something to draw with? Prayer, meditation, silence, the Eucharist, the daily office, forward day by day, reading scripture, time in nature, poetry, baking, painting, gardening, journaling, spiritual direction, holy conversation, singing, music. The water is there, but it has to be accessed. And sometimes the water is there deep under the surface. There is no well, no indicated or apparent place to access it. Moses, following God's instruction, whacked a rock at Massa and Meribah. And while the people continued to whine and murmur, to complain that things used to be better, to despair because they were thirsty and had no water. Even in that very moment, water gushed forth from a rock. Jesus sat by a well in the scorching heat of midday in Samaria without a bucket. He sat there. And with the truth of his heart, he drew forth living water in the company of someone whom custom and convention and prejudice said he should not even have acknowledged, much less talked with. In Samaria, in a desert place, a place of isolation and in a time of bondage to many human-made chains, a place and time not so different from our own, Jesus spoke a word of God's love from the deep well of God's own heart. And the Samaritan woman heard it. They drank together. And in that moment of insight, some truth about life, some understanding about worship of God and about God's own self burst forth like water from a rock. This is the living water. It is the gift of God who is our rock and our salvation. The well is deep. Jesus offers something with which to draw and receive that living water. It is always available, even when apparently hidden underground, when it seems there is no well, even when at the well where it seems we have no bucket. Eternal, life-giving, living water, gushing up as a spring to eternal life. I close with these words from one of my favorite poets, the Sufi mystic, whom we know in English as Rumi. Some nights stay up till dawn, as the moon sometimes does for the sun. Be a full bucket, pulled up the dark way of a well, then lift it out into light. Something opens our wings. Something makes boredom and hurt disappear. Someone fills the cup in front of us. We taste only sacredness.